You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool.
Well, welcome back to the third and final hour of tonight's live broadcast of TPC, an episode during which we are kicking off our world tour. So what we're doing this month, as you know, we are exclusively showcasing leaders, activists, and elected officials from different European nations. So all the guests we have on this month will not be from America, as we seek to find out how our kinsmen are faring throughout the West. And we started it with Professor Drew Fraser of Australia during the last hour. Now, our good friend, regularly featured guest representing Canada, Paul Fromm. Paul is, of course, the director of the Canadian Association for Free Expression and the Canada First Immigration Reform Committee. Thank you, Paul, for being with us tonight on our world tour.
Well, it's a great honor, James. You've maintained and grown this program now for 15 years, and you've always had an international outreach, which I think has made it more powerful. I think a better source of information for your listeners. So, it's good to be on the inaugural leg of the world tour.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, Paul, you've been appearing for all of those 15 years. I guess later this fall it'll be our 16th year, but the it's especially great to have you on in this capacity because you are a regularly featured guest. A lot of the people we're going to be having on this month, some even are making their debut appearances. But you've always been a mainstay, and we're thankful for that. But again, it's going to be unique to have you on for this. I really love the Canadian National Anthem. I mean, that's a birthright type of song. That's a song that can stir the spirits of a native Canadian.
Yeah, there are some... Yeah, I think some very powerful words there, and I think it's quite inspirational. So I'm glad you played it there.
Well, how are we doing in Canada, Paul? That's what we're seeking to find out. I mean, how are our people doing? The good and the bad, give it to us. Oh, and by the way, Drew Fraser told me during the last break to be sure to tell you hello.
Oh, well, thank you. Well, actually, not doing too well. We have a government that is crippled by white guilt, and it's drunk the environmental, the phony environmental Kool-Aid about man-caused climate change. And we just had two big energy projects canceled. Warren Buffett pulled out of a liquefied natural gas plant that was to be built in the province of Quebec. He was going to put up the bulk of the money, so he pulled out his $4 billion. And a big open pit oil extraction project by Teck Corporation recently withdrew its application to proceed. And the reason is the present government is pathologically opposed to carbon fuels. It wants to have zero carbon by 2050. I think that's the same nonsense that Bernie Sanders is plugging. I think almost any informed person knows that man has absolutely no role in what used to be called global warming was now called climate change. The allegation is that by generating carbon dioxide through burning oil or gas or coal, we're somehow heating up the world. Well, this is nonsense. Carbon dioxide actually is good. Ask anybody who's a greenhouse owner or a gardener, if you can increase the amount of carbon dioxide, the plants grow far better. But our government is completely tuned into that. Our prime minister hosted this silly little Greta Thunberg when she popped up in Canada last fall. So that's one thing. So the people, investors, are saying that this doesn't look like a very good place to invest. And then it got worse because our government also has been pushing for reconciliation with the native people. This involved a huge payout of money, but also a lot of guilt-mongering, how all their problems are colonialism. Well, that's just not true. However, some radical Indians tried to block a liquefied natural gas pipeline going from northern British Columbia down to the coast recently. And they were eventually, over a month after the courts gave the railway an injunction against these protesters, the RCMP finally got around to removing them. Well, then a sympathetic protest popped up beginning early in February, and one of them, by radical Mohawk warriors, shut down the main Canadian National Railway line that goes along north Lake Ontario to the ports of Montreal and Halifax. And you almost
have that's like something you would have heard about in the 1800s, the Mohawks shutting down the railroad.
Oh, no. And the police wouldn't do a thing. There were also wildcat shutdowns in various parts of the country. Protesters, and some of them are not Native Indians, some of them are radical environmentalists, blocked the road leading to the port of Vancouver for about 5 days. And so we have had chaos ever since. Now, finally, and the Prime Minister kept talking about, well, we have to settle this peacefully, we have to negotiate. What's there to negotiate when somebody illegally is blocking a railway line? You can't do it. Eventually, most of the blockades came down. But, I mean, they could go up again tomorrow. And what investors are seeing is a country where you've got police who will not enforce the law, politicians who are reluctant to even enforce court injunctions. In fact, the head of the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, a female, wouldn't you know, a big stocky woman named Lucky, and she may be Lucky.
Oh, come on.
Ms. Lucky, or Commissioner Lucky, said that the RCMP have a special strategy for dealing with native blockades, and enforcement is the last option. Your head spins. The police say, well, the very last thing they'll do is to enforce
Paul, I've got one. I don't know if it could match that, but I got a similar story as we continue to learn from Paul Fromm, representing Canada. What's going on in our neighbor to the north? Stay tuned.
I'd advise Mr. Trump to stop whining and go try to make his case to get votes.
The press has created a rigged system. They even want to try and rig the election.
Well, I tell you what, it helps in Ohio that we got Democrats in charge of the machines.
And poisoned the mind of so many of our voters.
At the polling booths, where so many cities are corrupt and voter fraud is all too common. And then they say, oh, there's no voter fraud in our country.
I come from Chicago. So I want to be honest. It's not as if it's just Republicans who have monkeyed around with elections in the past. Sometimes Democrats have too. You know, whenever people are in power, they have this tendency to try to, tilt things in their direction.
There's no way.
You start whining before the game's even over. Whenever things are going badly for you and you lose, you start blaming somebody else. And you don't have what it takes to be in this job.
Hi, I'm Patty, wife of former Congressman Steve Stockman. In Congress, Steve sought impeachment of Eric Holder for his corruption of the Justice Department and his fast and furious gun running that caused Border Agent Brian Talley's death. Steve called for arrest of Lois Lerner for her contempt of Congress as it investigated her targeting of conservative nonprofit groups. After 4 years, four grand juries, and millions of tax dollars, Steve Stockman is in prison. His case involved four checks to nonprofits. DOJ has one standard for Hillary Clinton, but another for folks like President Trump and my husband. We've spent all our savings, all Steve's retirement, and much of mine. Steve Stockman has fought for you and America. Won't you join me now to fight for Steve? To help, text FIGHT to 444-999. Text F-I-G-H-T to 444-999 or go to defendapatriot.com. Defendapatriot.com.
Regrets? Oh, we're all gonna have them. Doesn't matter who you are or what you do. At some point, you're gonna wish you'd done something differently. You know, the woulda, coulda, shouldas. But let me tell you a couple of things you'll never regret. You'll never regret spending extra time talking to your teenager. Trust me. You'll never regret answering your three-year-old's question about where the water in the bathtub comes from. And I've never seen anyone wish they hadn't sat in the kitchen laughing with their children and telling them goofy stories about when they were kids. Yeah, sure, we're all gonna have regrets. But talking too much with our kids won't be one of them.
No matter what you talk about, love is what they'll hear. A thought from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Visit us at Mormon.org.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
Well, Paul Fromm, you know, there's a reason Paul's been appearing on this show since day one, and he's logged more appearances than just about anybody we've ever featured. He is a regular, recurring guest, and for good reason. He's a great storyteller. He is an entertaining guest. He keeps great pacing, and he's an authority on just about everything. I mean, Paul can be brought on for any given topic, and he's going to give you a good show. And I thank you for that, Paul, and I thank you for your service to our people, especially with regards to the freedom of speech issues and the issues of immigration, which are so, so, so vital. You spend a lifetime on the front lines of those issues. But you're telling us now, I mean, you can't make it up. The Mohawk Indians are shutting down railways. Now, that's not a story from history. That's something that's happening in Canada very recently, and it reminds me of what happened down here a few years ago. You've been to Memphis several times, Paul, for different events over the year. Well, that was back when, of course, you could travel to the United States. But anyway, the Mississippi River there at the bridge, I-40 bridge that separates Arkansas from Tennessee. Black Lives Matter, back in their heyday during the latter years of the Obama administration, they shut down Interstate 40, which is the major artery for commerce in the United States. And it shut down interstate commerce, and they shut down traffic, and they shut down people who, you know, put lives at risk, really. People trying to get to and from. If you had a medical emergency on your road, you're in gridlock. Shut it down for half a day. And the police went out there and locked arms with them and gave them an audience with the mayor to acquiesce to their demands. Not one person was arrested. You're talking about a major felony. You're not talking about, like, I get a speeding ticket about every other month and I pay a fine and then I go on my way. You're talking about these people should have all gone to jail and they were given concessions.
Yeah, and see, this is not only is this bad in the short term, it's bad in the long term because it creates the mindset that the Indians are above the law. In fact, that's what they claim. They say they're First Nations. Well, they're not nations. They are little tribes, in some cases as few as a couple of hundred, in some cases several thousand, that they parasite off the Canadian state. Very few. There are a few that are self-sufficient, but they're not nations. And the idea that somehow when they block a road or block a rail line that, well, they're special, this only encourages them to do this more. And
absolutely.
We had a previous go round a few years ago when some of the Native Indians had some protests over poor conditions on some of the reserves. Well, they may have had a certain validity in what they were complaining about, and there were some peaceful protests, and I have no problem with that. But some Indians down near Sarnia, Ontario, which is down near Detroit, blocked the railway line for a number of days. They ignored a court injunction, and the police actually ended up bringing them cups of coffee. instead of saying, "Listen, come on,"
there you go.
Yeah, it's complicity. And part of it, James, is that the authorities really don't disagree with them. That's the problem. You've got an establishment that has bought into white guilt. You know, anything wrong with the Native Indians, it's all because of colonialism. Most of our political elite have bought into cultural Marxism victimology. And so while they probably would prefer that the Indians not block a railway line and virtually shut down part of our economy, nonetheless, their heart really isn't in it. And there were signs at some of these protests with hashtag shut down the economy. I mean, that's the goal of this evil alliance of radical Indians and environmental crazies. And I didn't mention it, but the pipeline, a small number of hereditary chiefs were trying to block in British Columbia, had been approved by the elected Indian tribe leaders from the Wet'suwet'en tribe and various other tribes along the route. These tribes would get handsome, royalties for letting the pipeline go through, and something they desperately need, good jobs. So basically a half dozen hereditary chiefs, not the elected ones, hereditary chiefs, were holding this country up. And our prime minister, he sent his Indian Affairs Minister and several others to negotiate with them. There can be no negotiating with people that are blocking essential routes. So investors look at this and they say, the leadership of this country is in the hands of clowns. And until things change, we're not going to be risking our dollars. And this is going to have severe effects, in the years ahead.
Fascinating, Paul. Fascinating, because, again, that was something that I could relate to. I had not heard about that story. And it just, nothing really defies belief in this day and age. But that is interesting. I mean, do you remember when the people who were elected were white people who actually put the interest of their family and their kinsmen first? I mean, that happened within your lifetime anyway, if not mine.
It's not quite the same issue, but a man of few words, Calvin Coolidge, once said that I think he was mayor of Boston, and there was a governor, I think he was governor of Massachusetts, and there was a strike, I believe, in public transit, and he forced the workers back to work. He said he fired a lot of them if they didn't go back to work. He said there's no right to strike against the public good any place, anytime, anywhere. Calvin Coolidge had a way of putting a complicated idea in a few words, and to some extent, I agree with that. Against the law. It isn't a matter of inconvenience. It's against the law to block a railway line. And I'm sure it is in the United States as well. So the police should immediately have arrested them. They don't need a court injunction to back them up. They're doing something illegal. It's the failure of our political elite who are, basically slaves of cultural Marxism. They basically hate us. I think on an individual basis, they would probably say, "Oh no, I don't hate other white people," but they do. They think we're a corrupt society. All the problems the Native Indians have are because of colonialism, and so on. They buy into this narrative, and it's very hard for them to to manage it. And one of the things I think voters look for here and probably elsewhere is, regardless of the ideology, are the politicians competent? I mean, can they run a system? And it's becoming really obvious that our social justice warrior prime minister cannot run a country. So things are spiraling out of control, and then of course we've had a big drop on the stock market. We've got the problem with the coronavirus.
And most of
what the prime minister says is to go around lecturing people not to be racist. You see, if you happen to notice that most of the people with coronavirus have come recently from China, or to a lesser extent from Iran. Well, you're a racist, and people who've been avoiding Chinese restaurants, they're racist. We don't need another lecture on racism from the trust fund kid. We need effective measures for dealing with this latest epidemic.
Yeah, you know, we were talking with you in one of your many appearances last year. It looked as though there was a chance that Canada would excise the cancer of Trudeau. There was a rising nationalist party. Unfortunately, he was able to slip back in, and so there he still sits. But we'll be back. We still have a half an hour remaining with Paul Fromm as we continue to learn and discover the state of affairs in the Great White North. Stay tuned.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
During a press briefing on Saturday, Vice President Mike Pence says he's working on a plan to keep Americans safe.
While the risk to the average American of contracting the coronavirus remains low, it is essential that we find ways to mitigate that risk to prevent the spread of the coronavirus.
Those comments as D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser is confirming the city's first confirmed case of the virus. The Democratic presidential primary is down to two major candidates, and it's beginning to show. Former Vice President Joe Biden and Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders are spending their first weekend as their party's top White House contenders, increasingly taking shots at one another. Sanders campaigning in Dearborn, Michigan. Meanwhile, former Vice President Biden spending his Saturday in St. Louis. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Maybe you can relate to this. A lot of people think they're stuck with their health plan. It costs too much, or for whatever reason, they just don't like it. The great news, you are not stuck with it. There is a choice. It's called MediShare, and you could save so much. The typical savings for a family is $500 a month. Major difference maker. This is the affordable alternative to health insurance. And just to give you a little more info about MediShare, it's a Christian healthcare sharing ministry. It's worked beautifully for 26 years, has more than 400,000 members, and they've shared over $3 billion of each other's medical bills. So yes, they could help share your needs too. So you're not stuck. There's an excellent alternative. Whether you're single or married, you got a family, MediShare is super flexible. You can choose an option that works for you and start saving lots of money. You can join anytime. They're great to talk to. No pressure. Call 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
Democratic Congresswoman Ilhan Omar is lashing out at Supreme Court Justices Brett Kavanaugh and Clarence Thomas, calling them sexual predators. Omar posted a tweet saying two accused sexual predators should not be deciding whether or not women have access to health care in this country. Time magazine is now giving Woman of the Year covers for the last 100 years. USA Radio Network's John Hunt has the story.
Time magazine has chosen 100 Women of the Year, selecting one trailblazing woman to represent each year from 1920 to 2019. It's a distinctive way to celebrate Women's History Month, but it's also an acknowledgement for many years that women's contributions were overlooked. For 72 years, Time's most anticipated cover was called Man of the Year until 1999, when the magazine changed the title to Person of the Year. Now, Time is giving the title to 100 women, some of whom waited a century for their honor.
This is USA Radio News.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Well, we're back with the Pride of Canada, Paul Fromm, a man that I have known for, gosh, it's been a while, 16 years minimum, since before I started this show, that's for sure.
I knew you for a year or two before you started your show. I think you'd run for a local office and upset things quite a bit. So, yeah, we're going on 20 years. Wow.
And it's been my honor and something that I'm very proud of, my friend. And, yes, it has been that long. You are right. It predates the show, which, again, later this year will be 16 full years on the air. Well, you mentioned the coronavirus. And I'm gonna give up. I'm not gonna be able to avoid talking. We talked about it for an hour and a half last night. It's all anybody's talking about everywhere. But I guess we might as well spend a minute or two seeing how the Canadians are reacting to it. I just got this in. I said Tom in a previous segment was from Arkansas. Tom says he's from the Mason-Dixon line. Tom wrote this. You know, coronavirus is getting serious now. It said that Tim Hortons. You'll be familiar with that particular chain. Paul is a Canadian. Tim Hortons has scraped its upcoming roll 'em up to the rim cups due to the coronavirus. So now we know it's getting out of control.
That's very interesting. That news just came out yesterday. And what the roll up the rim to win contest is that every year for a few months, the rim of the plastic cups. You know, if you move your fingernail up against it, will roll up a bit. And there will be prizes. In many cases, you get a free cup of coffee or a free donut. But there are some big prizes, several motor vehicles and several other, you know, relatively big ticket items. They've canceled that just as of, I believe, yesterday. And the fear is that employees, when they, like, if you win, you rip the cardboard part of the cup and you hand it into the counter the next time you buy. Well, the fear, and I think it's an exaggerated one, but this is what they're saying, that Tim Hortons fears that if you have the coronavirus and your saliva's on your cup, you might pass it on to an employee when you hand that piece of cardboard in to get your free cup of coffee or free donut. It's an immensely popular contest every year, and it's been going for, well, as long as I've been going to Tim Hortons, so I'd say it's been going at least for 15 years. I think, overreaction, personally, and panic.
I it's hard to say what's real and what's not with this coronavirus, but we talked about it last week for at least an hour and a half. We did a segment with Drew Frazier in the last hour, but maybe it's just a trial run to see how conformative people will be in the face of a serious threat. And if that's the case, the people have not disappointed their masters, that's for sure, because you see mass hysteria. But one thing that is true, I'm reading an article right here. I mean, you cannot open a browser without the top 10 stories being coronavirus related. It looks like it's going to, now the latest projections are that it's going to wipe out $100 billion in worldwide airline revenues. And of course, we have seen that the stock markets are convulsing and the supply chains have been rattled. So all that, and whether the virus itself is real or imagined, I mean, I know we can point to the fact that not many people have died from it and all the others, but it is having some effects, no doubt about it. However, Drew was saying he can't even buy toilet paper in Australia because everybody's raided the stores and bought them out of everything but the screws holding in the shelves. How are people reacting up there in Toronto?
Well, you know, that's hard to say definitively. I had a financial advisor earlier in the week assure me that Costco and other stores were all out of toilet paper. That they were flying out of there in by the carload, and they couldn't be obtained for lumber money. I had no trouble the other night buying toilet paper at my local supermarket. In fact, they just put out a new shelf right near the entrance, and they seem to have plenty. I've talked to other people who have also not noticed anything like that. There may, you know, part of what's happening is that the government is so, and the media to a large extent, are so paranoid about racism that they don't tell you the full truth. The truth is, in Chinese areas, and we've got a lot of Chinese in the Greater Toronto Area, that they seem to descend on stores and clean them out. But as a general rule, I think many people are prudently buying a little bit of supplies like that and food ahead just in case. But I don't see a big run on the stores, at least in my experience.
Oh, no, Nettie, I haven't seen it yet down here either, but of course I guess it's still creeping, apparently, or so they say, to the United States and Canada. I think, you know, 19 people have died of it now in the United States.
And the death canceled. Rate is about 3.5%. So
hey, we covered that last week.
People have more, but, well, it's probably more, but as of yesterday, supposedly about 100,000 people have gotten the disease worldwide, and about 4,000 have died. So the death rate is, you know, somewhere.
Okay, well, let me ask you about that directly before we go to the next break, because we're coming up quick to the wall. You know, I'm just going to ask it point blank, because this is we'll cut to the chase on it. 4,000 people worldwide. That is less than 10% of the number of people who died in the United States alone from the flu last year. Yet this has caused so much disruption and so much hysteria. What do you make of it, Paul?
I'm not sure what to make of it. Is this a crisis inspired just to see how how people will react, or how much state control they'll accept? And although I suspect after 9/11, the political elite already know. While there have been individual exceptions, in general, the Americans and Canadians, dutifully fell into line like sheep, as long as they were assured it's for security. Which that's one of the biggest lies in the world. It's for your own safety. Oh, okay. Take away all my rights. I feel so good. And I think that may be a part of it. There's also an awful lot of lying that goes on. The Red Chinese sat on this information for probably 2 months. And a few brave Chinese doctors who spoke out about it were tossed in jail for spreading false rumors. They were subsequently released. But the Red Chinese lie. And so, you know, it's hard to know exactly what the truth is. And not just initially, but if you talked about this, your listeners have probably already heard that this virus may well have been stolen by Red Chinese scientists from a laboratory in Winnipeg, Canada, that last June. And this top scientist turns out to be working at a similar, influenza, flu and dangerous virus lab in Wuhan, China. And there's a strong reason to believe that the virus was stolen and perhaps somehow got out. And it's also a racially specific virus. The Chinese have been looking for one of those for at least 20 years, but unfortunately for them, it's racially specific, with them as the most vulnerable. Dr. James Sanchez sent me some scientific material analysis, and South Chinese and Japanese are the most susceptible, followed closely by North Chinese and South Koreans, followed by Vietnamese, and then considerably farther back, East Indians, considerably farther back from them, Blacks and African, considerably farther back, Europeans, that we are only about half as vulnerable. So this is a racially targeted virus. Now, whether was it created that way, it's hard to know. That just may be its characteristic, just like the Spanish flu of 1918. Ironically, it's targeted young, healthy people. That's why so many returning soldiers who were in good health, fit, on the prime of their lives, came down with it. And the usual victims, like the very young or the very old people, did not.
Hold on right there, Paul. We got to take our last break of the night. We'll be back with Paul Fromm, representing Canada on TPC's World Tour, which is kicking off tonight. The special series will run throughout the month of March right here, and we'll be right back.
I reinstated a policy first put in place by President Ronald Reagan, the Mexico City policy. I strongly supported the House of Representatives' pain-capable bill, which would end painful late-term abortions nationwide. And I call upon the Senate to pass this important law and send it to my desk for signing. We are protecting the sanctity of life and the family as the foundation of our society. And most importantly of all, it is the gift of life itself. That is why we march. That is why we pray. And that is why we declare that America's future will be filled with goodness, peace, joy, dignity, and life for every child of God.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
I think we're going to have a lot of fun this month. We've already had fun tonight, going to Australia with Drew Fraser, up in Canada now with Paul Fromm. We're going to make stops in Croatia. We're going to go over to the UK. We're going to go to a lot of different places over the course of the next 3 weeks after tonight through March. Paul, you're a guy, I could have you on 3 hours and we wouldn't have covered it all. Let's try to do this if we can. Let's do a rapid fire segment. I've still got so much to cover and there's not nearly enough time. So I'll set them up and you knock it down. I'm going to lob you the soft pitch. You hit it out of the park. Let's do a question and answer 60 seconds apiece and see how much ground we can cover.
Okay.
All right, first one. I brought this up earlier, but there's a new slur out there to be used for our people, people who don't necessarily believe hook, line, and sinker dubious claims. You mentioned Greta's visit to Canada earlier. The new term I've started to see being bandied about in the media is climate change denier.
Yes.
Your reaction to that?
Yeah. Yes. this is supposed to riff off Holocaust denier. And, you know, that they are considered to be bad people. I don't, it's actually a weaponized word. It's an abusive term that doesn't describe what people are saying. So I'll leave that Holocaust skeptical for another time. But climate change denier is supposed to suggest that you are evil. And in fact, there's even been some American scientists who said climate change denier should be put in jail. What a climate change denier actually is a person who says that there is no human causality to climate change. Of course, climate is always changing, so you can't deny the climate changes from time to time. But the big issue is, are we the cause of it? Now, people like Al Gore and Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren believe we are. And I think we have to be, we're too nice, James. You may recall 20 years ago, Al Gore, then Vice President of the United States, said that by 2013, because of global warming or climate change, the polar ice cap would have melted. By 2013, 7 years later, it has not melted. The guy got it wrong. And yet we're constantly listening to these gloomsters like, how dare you? Greta Thunberg, you know. I mean, we really are in a time of idiocy when anybody would pay any attention to the hysterical ramblings of a mentally ill 16-year-old from Sweden.
You summed that up with an exclamation point on the end. I agree with you, of course. Now, very quickly, I ask you this every time you're on. How long has it been since you've been denied entry into the United States, and is there any update on that regard?
5 years and no. I was first denied about a month after the shootings in South Carolina, and by Dylann Roof. Not that I've ever been told that was the reason, but my problems go back to then. And I have actually not applied for a visa in the last few years. I am going to, I have had no trouble getting into Cuba. I've had no trouble getting into Russia. I have trouble getting into the United States.
That's just amazing to me. I mean, because I can remember before, and of course you had nothing to do with Dylann Roof, and everybody knows that, but you're just saying it goes back to around that time. No, I understand. I just wanted to be clear. But I can remember so many fond memories of you and I together at different conferences throughout the years, and it's just a shame not to be able to see you in person as we once did. But it does go to show, when a government is serious about keeping someone out, they can. Now, they can't keep out untold numbers of millions of illegal aliens, but they can keep a law-abiding citizen, a good man by any standard of measurement, Paul Fromm, out. And I saw this, and this to me, I'll just say it, it's so sad. See these stories.
It shows a security establishment that can't get it right, that they don't know who their enemies are. In fact, up here in Canada, very recently, they put two white nationalist groups on the prohibited terrorist group, so you can't join them or fund them. And one of these groups was Blood and Honor. I knew these guys. They in no way were terrorists. But here's a country that is directing its security forces to watch those right wingers. And the populists and the yellow vests. Meanwhile, you've got radical Indians and environmental crazies actually trying to shut the economy down. And interestingly, with money from big American environmental foundations.
And speaking of money. For any of the Canadian listeners tuned in tonight to hear Paul, I don't normally sound like this. I've got the flu, and we're doing the best we can. But Have you been following, Paul, the decline in oil prices and the failure of OPEC to agree to cut production, mainly due to the refusal of Russia? Now, the Saudis have opened the spigots and are engaging in a price war, driving the price further down. What effective do you think this will have on the heavily leveraged shale oil industry and the banks which hold the loans and consequently the economy? Are you familiar with any of that?
Yeah, a little bit. One of the things I'm told that's driving the price down is declining demand. Like as airlines are, like most major airlines are no longer flying to Red China, and there is considerable fall off in in air travel and certain other travel. There's less demand for oil, but I think some of this volatility is artificial. For reasons I'm not entirely sure, because I would think lower oil prices don't benefit the producers. They do, of course, benefit us as consumers.
All right, interesting. We'll see how the markets react as this continues to flesh out. Well, one more thing I was going to say with regard to immigration, to circle back to that very, very quickly, and it goes to show what a serious government can do when it puts its mind to something. You see these stories, every few months, I guess. It was discovered the United States apprehended some 100-year-old guy who fought for Germany in World War II, and now they're sending him back to Germany. I don't think he was a criminal of any kind. He was just a guy who fought. I mean, if I don't know the story. But I certainly don't think he's broken any laws here. He was a guy who fought for his country during a time of war. But, you know, they can find that guy. They can find that 100-year-old guy, no problem, and root him up and send him back to Germany, where he'll probably go to jail forever for whatever life he has left. But, you know, it's just – and then I look, you know, people who are a serious, serious threat, they're coming in by the droves.
Well, that's the mark of a failing elite, when they cannot, recognize where the real enemies are. When you're persecuting, 95-year-old Germans who fought on the wrong side in World War II, whatever they did or didn't do is irrelevant today. Meanwhile, you've got terrorists, drug pushers, MS-13 gangsters from Central America who kill lots and lots of real people and do tangible harm today, and the establishment can't get a grip on them.
Well, I mean, that's all stuff that would sour a broadcast, to be sure. Do we have any reasons for hope in Canada? Anything good, except for the fact that you're there, Paul, and you're always working, and you never stop working, and you never stop fighting. And, of course, spirits like that are drawn to one another. Is there any signs of a pulse in Canada that we can end tonight's conversation?
Yes, there is the emerging political leadership. There's a new party that formed about a year and a half ago called the People's Party of Canada. Leader is a man named Maxime Bernier. It's a populist party. They ran candidates in almost every riding in the last federal election. They had a tough program on immigration and a really, really good program on free speech. It takes a while for these types of parties to catch on. But there is a political alternative here now. It's not just anymore the absolute lesser of considerable evils. So there is hope, and there are a lot of young people. As much as the younger generation gets blamed for being a collection of snowflakes and apathetic people, there are young people on university campuses fighting the free speech battle. And as you know, both in Canada and the United States, the universities are among the biggest enemies of free speech. Instead of being hotbeds of debate and discussion, there are many cases Stalinist political education camps for Marxism.
My Sam, our network owner, producer, jack of all trades, asked if it's warm up there right now. I saw over in Alberta, it's -3 with a high of 1. So I guess the global warming hadn't quite hit there yet.
Well, actually, that's almost balmy. Alberta and the prairies were in a deep freeze a month ago. And, lots of people were saying, well, so much for global warming.
Paul Fromm, always a pleasure, my friend. It's always great to have you. I know we'll have you back soon. But thanks for coming on this special series. Godspeed to you and yours in Canada. We'll talk to you again soon. For everyone else, we'll talk to you next week.
And God bless with your cold.
Thank you, Paul. Appreciate it, buddy. Take care. Good night, everybody.
You